We begin the current daf in Masechtas Beis, daf Chav Gimel. We begin 8 lines down from the top of the Yamed, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, we introduced in the previous daf a Mishnah that spoke about the opposite of the Mishnah before that, which had Gamliel saying 3 stringencies. The last Mishnah on the previous daf spoke about 3 leniencies. One of them was that he would be Manich as a Mugmer B'Yamtiv, which basically means to say putting some spices on the coals, which then makes this aroma coming out of it on Yamtiv. So the Gemara concluded that the machlekes he had with the Chachamim was regarding if you could do that for the fragrance in the ear. One cannot do it legamer sakelim, which was they used to put this type of aroma in their garments that they would smell good. That's forbidden, but the machlekes was regarding putting on the coals, which is that considered something that's oichel nefesh? Is that a permitted thing on Yom Tov to do a malacha or not? With that, the Gemara then transitioned into a different discussion of maula ashen. Is one allowed to put these spices on the coals to give an aroma in the fruits that one's going to eat? And that we had a machlekes, if that's asur mutter, because there are malachas that are done, that of mechaba and mavir, when one puts on the spices, it makes some of the coals go out, which is av malacha mechaba, and makes some of them, then makes the spices burn up, which is mavir. Now we had a machlekes, again, is that considered eichel nefesh or not? That is, do we say that it's something that makes the food better, so it's eichel nefesh? Or do we say that it's not shabal chol nefesh, not everybody would go ahead and do that, because only those who know the finer things in life or enjoy these delicacies, they're going to do that, and it has to be a shabal chol nefesh, something that everybody enjoys, is permitted to be done in Yom Tov, whereas the other opinion says that this is something that everyone would enjoy, it's just they cannot afford it. Now, on that, there was a machlekes in the Gemara regarding this iser, is that only on coals where you're going to have the problem of mechava and mavir, or that even apply actually when you're putting on a piece of earthenware where there's not going to be a problem of mechava because there's no coals, it's just in a hot piece of earthenware, and there's no problem of mavir because actually, although the spices are going to be burnt up and there will be havar, but it's not in the normative way, it's done through a shinui because generally you do it on something that's coals, not on earthenware. And therefore, the question that there's a machlekes in the Gemara, that there's another problem of meilid recha, that one is introducing a new aroma into the earthenware that wasn't there before because of the spices that are burning up on it. So there was a machlekes regarding that those who say that it's forbidden to do this on Yom Tov, it's not considered shabal chal nefesh, would they say that it's even forbidden on cheres or not? That was a machlekes in the Gemara. Now, Gemara continues on this machlekes, a maul ashen, and the Gemara brings another opinion. Rava Amar, he argues on the opinion that we mentioned before. Actually, he holds like Shmuel, who his opinion was that it's going to be permitted to do this la'ashin, to put the spices on the coals to have this aroma go into the produce, that he's going like Shmuel's opinion that says it's mutter. The opinion we were discussing till now was Rav's opinion. He said it's forbidden. It's not considered shavul chal nefesh. And therefore, since it's not something that's permitted for eichel nefesh purposes, it's forbidden because of the malachas that are inherent of mechave and maver, and maybe even the problem of meilad recha. Whereas Rava holds like Shmuel, that no, agabe gecheles nami mutter, it's actually even permitted to put it on the coals. Forget about putting on the cheres, where that's not going to be a problem, even putting on the coals. And the reason is because he considers it that it is eichel nefesh, this smoking of the produce, and he considers that it is shabal chal nefesh, although only the wealthier, the more finer people do these things. But again, it's only because people can't afford it, but not because it's not something that everybody would enjoy. Now, although there's the problem about mechaba, you're extinguishing some of the coals by doing this, and havara, you're making some of the spices burn up, and you're also creating oiled recha, you're introducing a new aroma into the coals that weren't there before you put the spices on. But on that is what Rava says, there's no problem about doing this on Yom Tov, just like putting a piece of meat on the coals is permitted, because a lot of roast, a lot of cooked food on Yom Tov because of eichel nefesh. The same thing would apply to these making these aromatic spices so that the produce could smell good, is the same thing. It's considered shabal chal nefesh, it's eichel nefesh purposes for consumption, and therefore it's going to be permitted to do all these malachas on Yom Tov. So similarly, the Gemara brings that Darash Rav Gevaya mi Beit Kassel, Rav Gevaya from Beit Kassel had lectured a pischa de Beresh Galusa. By the entryway of the house of the Beresh Galusa, he was in charge of all the people in Galus. He said, Ketura Shari, these were the words that he said. He said that Ketura is permitted. He didn't explain what he meant when he said Ketura. So Amalei Amema, Amema said to him, my Ketura, what's this? You're saying Ketura is permitted. What is that? Iketura v'yadei. So they were trying to figure out what did he mean to say. Ketura could mean kesher. The test is interchangeable with a shin. It can mean nodding. In other words, do you mean to say what people would do for by the opening of the leggings or by the sleeves of the women's garments, where they would press them on a flat piece of wood or by a bundle of straw, where that would be a term of keturah, again would mean kesher, it's like a way of knotting, which means like holding it in place, pressing. Are you referring to pressing the sleeves of the garments, that that's permitted to be done in Yom Tov? But ma'aseh umanhu, that's something that requires professional work, that's a malacha, and therefore that should be forbidden to be done in Yom Tov. Now, ve'ila ashing, if actually your word of keturah is coming from the word of like ketiris, which is kitra kivshan, which is to smoke things, but also the hokamachaba, that's also forbidden to be done in Yom Tov, because when you're putting on the incense, that's making some of the coals go out. And hence, how could you do that on Yom Tov? So Rav Ashi said to him, says, La'olam la'ashin. Truthfully, that the second version that you said of what did he mean by keturah, which is a term of ketiris, of smoking, that's what he meant to say you're allowed to do on Yom Tov. But although there's going to be mechab, you're going to be extinguishing some of the coals when you put the spices on there, but meat, it have a bisra gurmi, it's the same thing, and this is the continuation from the Gemara before. It's like roasting a piece of meat on Yom Tov, which you're allowed to put on the coals, although it's going to be extinguishing some of them, because it's eichel nefesh, and you're allowed to do malachas on Yom Tov eichel nefesh. Same thing is over here, that one could go ahead and make these spices that have this aromatic, fragrant smell, because that's also considered eichel nefesh to be done on Yom Tov. Ikadami, that those say a different version, that Omalei Amema said to him, my keturah, what is this that you think keturah is permitted? E keturah biyadei, if you're saying this, like we said, it's when it comes from the term of knotting, but it means to say like pressing down on the garment, but my somanu, that's a professional work, and therefore how could that be permitted to be done on Yom Tov? And Ili Ashen, if it's talking about smoking, but us to the Kamal Adrecha, again, that's forbidden because, and here's where the second version changes, that the problem they had with smoking wasn't because of mechaba, but it's a problem because you're introducing a new aroma into the coals that wasn't there before, which is the Issa Drabanan of Moilid, of introducing something that wasn't here before, which is similar to what Malachis do. Hence, the Rabbanan said it's forbidden. So that on Rav Asher says, I told him this. And in the name of a great person did I tell him this halacha, and that is the reason why keturah is permitted, lo'ilam la'ashin. Truthfully, the word keturah is coming from the word of keteris. That's what we're saying on Yom Tov is permitted to be done. Now, although you have a problem about, but it's creating a new smell, a new fragrance in the coals, which wasn't there before, and that's rabbinically prohibited to be done on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And that it says, it's the same thing like putting a piece of meat on coals, where that's going to be permitted to introduce the smell of the meat or doing whatever it does into the coals. That's no problem. Same thing over here with the fragrant spices, although it's going to be introducing a new smell into the coals, that's not a problem, and because it's considered and secluded in the het of Eichel Nefesh, and hence there's no problem about these different malachas of Mechaba, Havara, and Moilad Recha when one is doing the Yom Tov because of the het of Eichel Nefesh. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah, that it said from the items that Reb Gamliel was lenient, says va'isin gedima kulis. They would make a roasted goat, exactly how they used to make it in the Beis Hamikdash for the Karban Pesach. That's how they would make it with all the parts of the animal hanging on its side, almost how a warrior holds his things. That's how they would make the Karban Pesach. And Rosh al Kirba Chorav, it had all the parts. That is what Reb Gamliel would do also outside of the Beis Hamikdash. So Tanya, learned the Braiser related to this. Reb Yisi said, Toidish Ishraimi, Titus, who is a man from Rome, Hinnig es b'nei Raimi lech gedimakulis b'leil p'sachim. He had the same custom that he accustomed all the people of Rome to eat this exactly how they would make the Karban Pesach in the Beis HaMikdash, that they would do this the nights of Pesach, a way of remembering what was once when we had the Beis HaMikdash. So Shochle, they sent to him, El Moli Titus Ata, were you not this great sage and this respectable person that you are, Titus, so gezranu alecha nidoi, we would have excommunicated you. Because you're feeding the Jewish people, kachim, karbanis, that are burned in the Beis HaMikdash outside of the temple, which is forbidden. So the Gemara asked, wait a second, kachim salgadaitach? Can you entertain that he fed them kachim? What does that have to do with kachim? How did it become kachim? A person cannot make a karban without the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says, el-eima ke'en kachim, it means similar to kachim. It looks like. In other words, they sent to him, they says, look, you're feeding something to the Jewish people that looks like it's karbanis. And the one who sees it is going to say, oh, this is something that they actually were makdish for Karban Pesach, and they're eating it here in Rome. Now that's an iser to be done in the Torah. Because of the marasayin, you're creating this halachic problem, and therefore we would excommunicate you were you not this great person. That was the message they were sending him, that this is wrong to be done. And that's where the Gemara brings it over here, that although Gamliel was accustomed to doing that, the Chacham argued and they said that one should not be eating this gedima kulis, exactly how the Karban Pesach was roasted in the Beis HaMikdash, because it gives the perception of eating a Karban Pesach, which is forbidden to be eaten outside, to be made outside the temple area, outside in the area in Rome where they are. Now the Gemara continues with a similar Mishnah to the previous Mishnah, which spoke about three things that Gamliel was lenient. So the Mishnah says a similar that Shleish Dvarim, Rabbi Elazar ben Nazariah Matar, there were three things Rabbi Elazar ben Nazariah permitted. And the Chacham said it's forbidden. And they are, first one is Parasa Yaitza, his cow would go out on Shabbos, Beritzua Shaben Karneha, with a string between its horns, and that was a way of beautifying it. Now the Rabban said that that's forbidden because actually that's considered a masri. It's carrying something. It's not a takshet. It's not an adornment for it. And therefore, although an adornment would be permitted, but since this is not considered as like carrying it, and carrying is forbidden for one's animal too, and therefore they said it's forbidden. The second thing that he permitted, he allowed the animal to be combed, specifically with an iron comb that has very thin teeth, even though it makes a wound to the animal, he permitted that to be done on Yom Tov. And the third thing was, he permitted to have the peppercorns being grinded in their mills, in their grinders. Whereas Rabbi Huda, he says, regarding the second item, he agrees that no, one is not allowed to, not like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, one is not allowed to use these combs with the thin metal teeth on Yom Tov, because it makes a wound, and one cannot do that to an animal on Yom Tov. But he held that one could use the wooden types of combs, with their teeth are more thicker, wider, and they don't create a wound on Yom Tov. Whereas V'chachamim, they say a third opinion, Ein Makardin, Avloy Makartzvin, you can't use neither the thin metal teeth, neither can you even use the thicker, wider wooden teeth. As the Gemara will explain the understanding of this three-way machlekes. But first the Gemara asks, on the first of the three things that the Chacham argued under Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that permitted his cow to go out with a string between its horns on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, Lememer de Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah chad de pari havile? Is that saying that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had one cow? That's what it sounds like. The Mishnah says, Parasa yaitza, his cow would go out as if he had one cow. And then the Gemara asks, but Amar Rav, but Rav said, Vamrila, and some say that Amar Yehuda Marav, the Yehuda said in the name of Rav, that Tleser Alfe Egli, 13,000 calves have ma'aser Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah me'edri kol shata v'shata. That would be just his ma'aser that he would give every single year. 13,000, which is just a tenth of what he really had. So how could we say he had one cow when he had 130,000 cows? Because he's giving 13,000 just as ma'aser. So I think when it says Tana, lo shaloi ha'isa. Actually, the Brisa clarifies, it wasn't his cow. Ela kol shcheinasi ha'isa. It was actually his neighbor's cow. Since he didn't protest regarding his neighbor's allowance of her sending out her cow with the thread between its horns, so therefore he has some of the onus of that responsibility because he could have protested and they didn't, and therefore it's called his cow. And the Chacham said that we argue on you, although he himself didn't do that, but because he didn't protest, it's called al shmoi, and that's what we mean to say, but paras yaisa really means his neighbor's cow. Now the Mishnah then said, the second thing that he permitted was a makardinus bayim b'yamtiv. One can comb the animal with the thin metal teeth on yamtiv. Now, the Gemara explains this machlekes, what are the different terminologies of makardin and makartzefin, and what's this three machlekes? So, turn about the braisa. Izehu kirud ve'izehu kirtzef. What are these two different terms that some allow, some don't? So, kirud is ketanim ve'izechabur. As we explained, those are the metal combs that have the thin teeth, and therefore it creates a wound in the animal when you're combing it. Kirtzuf are gedayla me'enes chabur. They're the larger, the wooden combs, which has the larger teeth, and therefore it doesn't create a wound when you're combing the animal. V'gimah machlekes b'davar, and it's a three-way machlekes, three different opinions in this halacha. Behuda Savar, he holds, davar, something, which specifically in this case the reference to creating a wound in the animal, although it's she'ein miskaven, although it's not intended, you just want to comb the animal, you don't want to make a wound in it, but aser, still that's going to be forbidden. But miyu, now that concern only applies in kirud regarding when you have the thin, as the Gemara says, ketanim ba'isan chabur, because those are the metal ones which have the thin teeth, and therefore it creates a wound. Now that's why you cannot be makarit. However, kirtzuf gedailim, the other one are the wooden ones, which they are the larger teeth. Ve'inayis and chabura, that doesn't create a wound, and therefore v'legizrin the kirtzuf otakirud. He holds that we don't make a gzera. Say, wait, we're not going to let you use the larger wooden one because then you might come to use the thinner metal ones, and that will create a wound. We say we don't make such a gzera, and therefore the only thing that's forbidden is the one that makes a wound. That's going to be forbidden, although that's not your intention. But he holds that davish ein meskaven is aser. even though it's not intended, it's going to be prohibited, and you're making a wound, so therefore that's something that's forbidden to be done in Yom Tov. Those are the thinner ones, but the wider ones, which don't, we don't make a gzera atu the other one. Rabban Savri Namik Kabihuda. Rabban also hold like Kabihuda, that Davashain Miskabin is Asr, that something that's not intended, although that's not your intention, but it's forbidden, and therefore they hold Ein Makardin. You can't use the thinner teeth because although you don't want to make a wound, but you're doing making a wound, which is forbidden to be done on Shabbos and Yom Tov. But they're even more stringent than him. Because we're not kirtz of utter kirid, and therefore they make a gzera. They say, look, we're not going to use the wooden combs because people might not be able to differentiate, and then they might come to use the metal ones, and then they will be over on that prohibition of creating a wound, even though it's not intended, and therefore they don't allow anyone. The third opinion, realism, Nazariah, Savala, Krib Shimon, he holds like Krib Shimon. Dama, Dabash, Emeskavin is Mutter, he holds that doing something that's not intended is permitted. Now, since the person's intention when he's combing his animal is not to make a wound, now, although sometimes that it does happen, but it's permitted. And therefore, Ubein Kirut Zavshari, therefore he holds that whether you're doing with the wooden ones that are wider, or even the metal ones that are thinner, it's going to be permitted because since it's not psik reish, it's not inevitable that every time you comb it's going to get a wound, it could happen. That's not a problem because even if it happens, it wasn't intended. And therefore, since he holds like Reb Shimon, that's going to be mutter. Now, Amar Rav, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel. V'amriglan, some say Amar Rav Nachman L'chudei, he himself said it not in the name of Shmuel. The halacha Krib Shimon, halacha as far as Krib Shimon, his opinion is quoted in Masechta Shabbos in a few places, that a person could drag a bed, a chair, a bench on the ground, even though it's going to be making furrows, because it's davish ein meskavin, it's not intended, you don't want to be over on chayrish, you just want to bring the bench to the other place in the yard, and therefore it's going to be permitted. Now he says the reason why the halacha is like Reb Shimon is Sharei Reb Elazar ben Azariah Maitle, as we just quoted in the Gemara, the three Reb Machlokes, two of them held like Reb Yehuda, Reb Elazar ben Azariah holds like Reb Shimon, and that's why halacha falls like Reb Shimon. Now Amalei Rav of Nachman, so Rav said to Reb Nachman, but v'leimah mahalacha Reb Yehuda, let the master, you, say halacha is like Reb Yehuda, that holds Davash in Miskavin is Asr, Sheikh Chachamim Aydin Labi, because the Chachamim agree. We have those two opinions that they argue and they hold that you can never use the metal ones because even though it's not intended, it's prohibited. Why are you saying like a blessing of Nazariah? Fine, but the Chachamim argue on that. We should go like the Rabbim. So Malay says, no, first of all, the reason really why is because I know Krib Shimon severely. I hold the Krib Shimon. That's why Allah is like Krib Shimon. Additionally, is what I was saying, and moreover, we find the blessing of Nazariah agrees to that. And that also goes according to my opinion that the halacha is like Reb Shimon and that davish and miskavin, although a malacha could happen, but since it's not the intended purpose, and even if it happens, that's going to be permitted, that's not going to be a problem. Now the Gemara continues on to Amud Beis, where we continue with the next Mishnah, again related to the second item that Reb Elazar ben Azariah permitted and the Chachamim said it's forbidden, which was regarding grinding things on Shabbos. So on that the Mishnah tells us, Harichaim shel pilpulin, which is regarding that same case, which is regarding the grinder of peppercorns. So on that, the Mishnah tells us that Temeya, it can contract Tuma, Mishum, and that is because of Shleisha Kalim, on the regards to three different utensils that apply in the halachas of this one grinder, which the difference of this, to know that there's three different ones, is because if, let's say, one of the components are lost, it still could contract Tuma because of one of the other components, as the Gemara will explain. So these three components of this one grinder is Mishum Klei Kibul. It has a receptacle, which makes something be able to contract Tuma. Umishum Klei Matris, and because it has a metal utensil, which even if it's flat, doesn't have a receptacle, could contract Tuma. And Mishum Klei Kvara, and because it is has a sieve in there, which goes into part of the grinder, which then sifts it as it comes out, that itself is something that's Mekabel Tuma. And for three different Shemois, this one Kli will have three different kalim inside of it, why it's going to be Kabbalah Tum. Now, the Gemara elaborates on this and breaks down its components. The time we learn the Braisa, there's actually three different parts of this grinder that are these three different kalim that will then, because it's one utensil, could be Kabbalah Tum. Tachtaina, the lower part of this grinder, which actually receives the dust of the pepper when it's being ground down, when it falls through the holes of the sieve, that's Mishum Klei Kibul. That part, that component, is receiving Tuma, could contract Tuma, because it's a receptacle where it's a wooden Kli. Now, wooden is not Mekabel if it's flat, but since it has a receptacle, that part is a Mekabel Tuma. And Tzayis, the middle component, which that part covers over the sieve part, where it would not receive Tuma because of being a Kli Eitz, because it doesn't have receptacle over there. Rather, the reason why that part could be Makabel Tumah is Mishum Kli Kvara, is because it's a utensil that's used as a sieve, as sifting. Now, the Chachamah will gaze the Tumah on a sieve because of the fact that it's woven. And that is, even if the sieve is not metal, it's not metallic, and it doesn't have a clay kibble, it still will be Makabel Tumah because of it being a clay kvara part, as a part of a sieve, which that it's made in the woven way, that itself, like Chama said, will be enough for it to be Makabel Tumah. And El Yaina, the upper part of this grinder, which is the part that actually grinds down the peppercorns, that could be Makabel Tumah, Mishum Clay Matzches, because it's metallic. And that is by the fact that it's wooden, it would not be Makabel Tumah because that's a flat part where Pshutei and the flat wooden utensils are tahar. It's only because the lower part of that is covered over with metal, which is the primary part, and the wooden part of it is considered batel, is secondary to the metallic part, and since it's metal, metal will be Makabel Tumah even though it's flat, and that's why we're saying there's three different kalim, three different shemois of utensils inside this one grinder, which are three different components, the top, the middle, and the bottom, which have three different aspects of it, why they're Makabel Tumah. Now the Mishnah continues, the next Mishnah, with continuing along this halacha of Tumah, of something being able to Makabel Tumah. So Agala Shel Katan, the wagon used by children, which they used to play around with, they sit on it, they move it around, they carry it. Now, that type of wagon that the children play with, Tamei Medrash, could contract the Tumah of Medrash. And that is if a child who is a Zav, which has a certain Tumah coming out of his body, if he goes on that wagon, that wagon could become an Avatumah. And that's the reason is because this wagon is designated for sitting. The children sit on it, they get pushed in this wagon, in this carriage. Now, since it supports the weight of the body of the child, so it comes at that this is something that's designated for sitting. And we don't tell them, get up, this is not what it's meant for, because if it wasn't meant for that, that the children sit on it and that's how it's used, then it wouldn't become an avatum, as the Gemara says of Sechta Shabbos, that although if a child would sit on it, if that's not what it's meant for, they say, get up and let us do what we have to do with this, since this is meant for that, so therefore it will be Makabel Tumah of Medrash, which is when the weight, a body weight of a Zav, is pushed on something that's meant and is designated for the purpose of carrying or holding the weight of a Zav. But it tells b'Shabbos, and it also could be moved. It could be used on Shabbos because it's a kli, it's a utensil. It's not something that's considered muktzah. Ve'en negreres. However, it cannot be dragged on Shabbos, meaning on the floor. Ela gabe kelim, only on top of garments. And the reason is because when their floors were earth, they were made out of earth. It didn't have it tiled. Now, when you're pushing the wagon, it's going to make these grooves in the ground. Now that's digging, which is a violation of chayrish, of plowing, because you're making these furrows, so therefore you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Behudaimer, he says, now, kala kalim ein negrer, and actually you're right, all utensils cannot be dragged on the floor, because anything you're going to drag, if it has some weight, it's going to make these furrows, which is the amalach of chayrish, of plowing, chutz m'nagol, actually, except from a wagon, and the reason is, b'nei shehi kiveshes, actually it presses down, in other words, these grooves that you see when you're moving the wheels of the carriage, is not by digging. Actually, it's a different process. It's just pressing down the ground beneath it so it looks like it's lower. But not because any earth is coming up. Plowing is that you see the earth is coming out and flowing to the sides, making these furrows. That's chayrish, it's digging up. Here it's not digging, it's pressing it down and therefore looks like chayrish, but actually it's not, and therefore that wouldn't be a problem actually to pull the wagon on Shabbos. Now, the Gemara clarifies all the halachic components of this wagon that the children play with on Shabbos. So first of all, we said, Agala Shel Katan Tamei Medrash. The Mishnah opened up by saying that the wagon used by the children is Makabel Tumah of Medrash. So the Gemara explains, Dasamach Levi, as we explained, because since it's meant for them to sit on it, and therefore they're resting their weight on it, that's how it's something is Makabel Tumah of Medrash, which is when the Zav puts his weight on an object. Then it tells us Shabbos, we said it could be used on Shabbos, is Mishum Dika, Taris Klila, has the halachic status of a utensil, it's a toy, it's something that children use, and therefore it's not Mukta. Ve'en negres el agabe kelim. And then the Mishnah said, but it cannot be dragged on the floor, it could only be dragged on top of garments. As the Gemara is Medayik, el gabe kelim in, it sounds like that, yes, you could drag it on garments, el gabe karkaloi, but not on the ground. Now my time, why can't you do that? Because you're making a furrow, you're making a ditch, and therefore, that's a problem about Malach of Chayrish. That the Gemara is Mani, so obviously, who's the Tana of our Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda, he must be going like Rabbi Yehuda. He says, although it's something that's unintended, the person's not trying to do chayrish, he's not coming to plant, they're just playing with the carriage, that would be problematic because it's even though you're not intending, it's still chayrish. The Reb Shimon, because it would be gone like Reb Shimon, the Amadav Shem is Kabnas Mutter, that if it's something that's not intended, then there would be Mutter. It's not like we learned in the Brisa. Reb Shimon says, Geru Adam, a person could drag, Mite Kisa Vesavs, a person could drag a bed, a chair, a bench, as long as you don't intend to make the ditch, to make these furrows, that's okay, even though it makes it because it's not inevitable. And since it's not intended, he holds that what's considered Malachas Machsheves to be considered the Malacha of Chayrish. Now, so therefore, obviously, the town of the Mishnah, like Yehuda said, you cannot drag it even though it's not your intention. But that the Gemara says, Ema Seifa, look at the end of the Mishnah. Rabbi Huda Eimer, again, Rabbi Huda, he's saying that Ein HaKol Nigrar B'Shabbos. You're right, you cannot drag anything on Shabbos. Chutz Minagol actually says, except for a wagon, which is allowed to be dragged, which the inference is, when they should kaveshes in, because it's pressing down, that's why it's permitted to drag the wagon. Avacharitz Loyavda, but a ditch, one cannot go ahead and make. Now, that contradicts the first half. We're saying that the beginning of a Mishnah is saying a wagon cannot be used because it's creating this chritz, and therefore that's included in what Rebbe Huda says, Dev Hashem Eskaven Azasu, where Rebbe Huda then goes and says that actually you're right, everything else cannot be used because you're making a chritz even though it's not Eskaven Azasu, but a wagon is permitted because it's not making a chritz. It's only being kaveshes. So the Gemara answer is, Trei Tanoi, Vali Rebbe Huda, that obviously it's two Tanoic opinions that are going according to Rebbe Huda, and that is one of them hold. That's the first opinion mentioned anonymously, the Tanakhama in our Mishnah, that is going like a Behuda, that a wagon is the same as other Kalim, where it makes these furrows, makes these ditches when you're dragging it, because sometimes he holds that maybe you're right. No one's arguing on the facts, of the scientific facts, that when it's going, it's not actually pulling it up, it's just pushing down the earth. But sometimes the wheels don't move, and you move it and you shake it, and then it makes some of the earth come up, that will be a problem of creating the ditch and of chayfer and of chayrish. The other Tana held, the one that's saying in the name Rabbi Huda Eimer, he held that's not so common, and therefore essentially the only thing that's happening when you're moving the wagon is that it's pressing down the earth, so though it looks like chayrish, it's not actually, and therefore it's going to be permitted, but essentially both of them are really like Rabbi Huda, that even though it's not intended, it's going to be usser. The only question was, are we going to say when you're pushing the wagon, is it only pressing down and hence it's mutter, or are we going to say that also sometimes it gets stuck and therefore some of the earth comes up, and therefore that would be a problem of chayrish, and that's why it's awesome. Hadnu lach yamtev, we shall return to you the second parak in Masechet Hasbeah, parak yamtev, and now we begin the third parak, parak ein tzadn. Now, by way of introduction, the halachas that we mentioned so far is that although slaughtering, baking, cooking are from the lamatas malachas, which are yisuri deraisa to be done on Shabbos and yamtev. However, they are permitted to be done on yamtev, and the reason is because they're considered eichel nefesh, but moreover is because you cannot have done it from before yamtev. You can't slaughter the animal before Yom Tov because it's going to get hot and it's going to get spoiled. Now, the same thing applies to all the other malachas that are permitted for Eichel Nefesh. But one of the lamatas malachas of tzeda, of trapping something, an animal to be able to eat it and slaughter it and cook it, that could be done from before Yom Tov. Now, what you could do is, you could trap it, and let's say it's a fish, you could catch it and keep it in water and not kill it, and then tomorrow you take it. But essentially is that trapping doesn't have to be done on Yom Tov, even though it's an Eichel Nefesh. So therefore our Mishnah tells us, Ein Tzadn Dogen Minam Bibarim. A person is not allowed to trap, to catch fish from their ponds of water, but Yom Tov on Yom Tov, although it's Eichel Nefesh. However, since it's Lamatas Lachas, one of the Amalachas, and it could have been done from before Yom Tov, you're not allowed to do it on Yom Tov. The Ein Nesin Lefneim, and also another Halach is, one is not allowed to put in front of the fish, Mizaynes, food. And that is, as Rashi tells us, even according to the pin that says in the previous Gemara that when it says that you're allowed to do malachas for nefesh, for oichel nefesh on Yom Tov, that even includes animals, that's only animals that it's incumbent upon you to feed them. So that you're allowed to do on Yom Tov. But fish, where it's possible for them to survive without the food you're going to give them, because they eat the roots of different grasses in the ground, and we have the larger fish, even the smaller fish, they have where to get food from, therefore you're not allowed to even feed them food on Yom Tov. Aval, however, tzadn chayiv oif, one could catch the wild animals and the birds that were gathered from before Yom Tov already min habibarin if they're in these bibarin. Now, bibarin are where there's these enclosures that are surrounded with walls from around. That's where they gather the animals from without, and that's where they keep them, and that's where they give birth, and that's where they grow up. That's going to be permitted to be done on Yom Tov. Now, the Gemara originally assumes that the reason is because since it's already surrounded with walls from before Yom Tov, so it's like what's called Nitzud Va'imid. It's already captured. And therefore, you're not doing anything when on Yom Tov you go in and you catch one. You're not doing Tzeda because it's already stuck in that enclosure. However, the reason why fish were prohibited is because they can swim away to the different nooks and crannies, and therefore, even though they're in their beibarin too, they're in their ponds, where that's where you keep your fish, but you're going to have to catch it. It can get away. Therefore, for the fish, that would be prohibited because that's considered tzeda. But for an animal that it's already in the enclosure, that's already it's already done. It's already considered trapped, and therefore, you could take that on Yom Tov. And also, but nice enough name is Zionist, you could also give them food on Yom Tov. And that is because in the wintertime where they need food, and even during the summertime, if it's in the place where the people step on and there's no grasses for them to eat, therefore, it's sometimes going to be necessary, so you could feed the animals on Yom Tov. So we have this disparity between the fish and the animals, where the fish, A, you cannot catch them, and B, you cannot give them food. Whereas by the animals, you could catch them because they're already considered caught, and you can give them food because they will not get food if you don't give them food. Shimon Gamliel Aimer, he says, look, loy kal habibarin shavim. Not all enclosures are the same. You can't just give a general statement that bibarin for the fish are usur, but bibarin, the enclosure for the animals, are mutter because they're already considered caught. And he says, zahar kal, this is the general rule. Kal, and we continue on to top of Chavdal Ben Alf, Hamachosud Seida, whenever it's something that's lacking capturing, where even if it's enclosed, but you're going to have to catch it, then also then it's prohibited. V'she'in Hamachosud Seida Mutter, but if it's not lacking capturing, meaning you could just go in and take it, then it's going to be permitted, and therefore it's not a qualifying necessarily regarding what species it is, or if it's in capture, enclosed or not. It would depend on what type of enclosure it is. If you could just walk in and get it, so then it's already caught, and therefore taking it now is not considered tzeda. But if it's not, even if it's in your environs, but you're going to have to go ahead and catch it and hunt it, that's something that's prohibited, even though it's already in its beibarin from before Yom Tov.